Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Stoke the Wild, a podcast dedicated to creativity, fun, and excitement, and the creative arts, and all sorts of cool stuff, because it's creative. That's three times of creative, and now the creative monster will show up at your house and make you creative.
Hi, I'm Chase.
Yeah, I wish it were that easy, right? Yeah. As always, we are your hosts, Nick.
And Joy. And
awesomeness. That's our last name now.
Oh, I thought you were saying awesomeness.
Nick and Joy Awesomeness. The third host, Awesomeness.
The third host.
I don't know where I was going with that. It's early. We're tired.
Yeah, but we did it. We're here again.
Once again. How's everybody doing out there? I hope you're doing well. It's been, if you live in the shy area, like we do, they finally have some warm weather.
It's so gorgeous. It's been so beautiful.
It's been raining for like 6 weeks straight. Like,
gosh, it really has. Everything is all like soggy still. You know,
Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow and we had six more weeks of rain is what it felt like. And
I didn't know that we asked the groundhog about rain.
No, we don't, but that's what it feels like. And we... you know, we finally have, oh man, like sunshine. I got a little bit of a sunburn the other day.
Got a lot of bit of a sunburn the other day, babe.
Thanks for embarrassing me. On the top of my bald head. And so, you know, it like, this just proves it's warming up finally. And
just proof.
It's just proof that the sun is hot.
I found proof.
Proof. That the sun is hot.
Yes.
But it's nice. It's nice to have warm weather and not rain so much rain.
I know.
You know, April showers bring May flowers, but it was like late March and all of April and the first week of May.
Showers.
Have only brought depression. And we're waiting for the flowers to bloom.
True story. One of the neighbors in our cul-de-sac has this enormous flower bed filled with only tulips. And it makes me so happy every time I see it because they are all in full bloom. And they're gorgeous. Gorgeous.
I don't think they had them last year.
I don't think so either. I don't remember those being there.
And I feel like they planted them like fully bloomed.
I don't know if you can do that with tulips. You usually plant the bulbs like in the fall.
No, you would use your two hands. You wouldn't use tulips.
Oh my god. We're not worms eating dirt. It's the only thing I can think of that would use like
their mouths
to move dirt.
Okay.
There's nothing else that does that, right? I'll find out over the summer.
Yeah.
No, I will find things out over the summer.
Yeah, but is that's not the topic of your research, is if anything else uses their mouths to move dirt.
No.
Joy recently was accepted into a research fellowship.
Program? I don't know that I would call it a fellowship. It's like a special class research situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we will be in the dirt.
Oh, you'll be in the dirt.
We'll be in the dirt, doing stuff in the dirt. It's a microbiology research program at my college, at my school, and we'll be conducting experiments.
That is cool.
Dirt. To isolate antibiotic-producing bacteria.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's going to be pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. That's
pretty cool. I'm just gonna say it's pretty cool. I found out last night that I could do it.
Yes.
I'm so excited.
I mean, you didn't find out last night that you can just, you know, play in the dirt.
No, I found out
that you can have a class dedicated to it.
Yeah, because I'm going to be taking I'm going to be taking microbiology over the summer.
Mud 101. And then, followed by Dirt 102.
This is a separate research project that you can do. There's no quizzes, no exams. It's just all based, your grade is based on what they call collegiality. And quality of work, quality of like your research. And baby, I don't know if you've ever met me, but I love research.
That is true.
I will probably over research, and then she'll probably be like, Joy, you have to stop now.
Class ended 6 weeks ago.
True, though. Seriously, though, I remember my first round of undergrad, just like still sometimes emailing professors and being like, so I was still researching this linguistics thing. And I don't know if you have ever like,
Joy, that was two semesters ago.
I've done it. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't even remember you as a student. No,
everyone remembers me as a student.
I had this crazy student named
Whether Roy. They like me or not, they remember me.
Yeah, you are memorable.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's super exciting. Real quick here at the top, before we jump into what we're talking about, for those of you who've been keeping track at home, it is the weekend right after, or a few days after, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness has come out. So if you're a Marvel person, a movie person, and want to check that out, we're going to be talking about that in our next episode coming up.
Oh my gosh.
Just to give some time for people to see it, because I'm not huge into spoiling things, but man, oh man, it was a wild ride and very trippy and weird, and I'll say this, if you have like younger kids who typically watch those with you, like we let our kids watch most of those, this is one that we will wait on for them to watch, because it definitely is creepy and a little bit more gory than a lot of the other Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
But it was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely for an older audience, you know, like teenager or older versus young kid. But we'll talk more about that and some of the spoilery stuff in our next episode to give people time to see it if they so choose. Because I do want to talk about it mostly because the implications of storytelling. When you've reached, this is like the 26th or 28th or something like, it's so hard to keep track now, like thing in the Marvel Universe between the TV shows and the movies now. Mm-hmm. And like, just as it informs of like how it informs general storytelling, like there are implications to the way that the world that they've built is now like changing. And that is possible only because of how they shape and move and introduce things within the universe. And some of it is retconning, which is like retroactively like changing how it connects. But for the most part, it's also just like thinking about how intricately like built the world may be within the paradigm of the story. And so that'll be fun to talk about, and how this is going to influence that.
Yeah.
But for this week, as we're talking, you know, this is one of those things that we like to talk about on occasion, about how things kind of inspire our ideas, but how we get those ideas from like, you know, the brain to the page, or from our heart to like the canvas. And this idea suggestion comes from one of our Patreons, Ross, who has suggested we talk about just, you know, how ideas come to fruition, whether in writing or art, or even with going back to school, you know, and how those ideas come to life. Mm-hmm. And how do we develop those and put it, you know, on paper or into the project. And even like, you know, if you're a parent, like we're parents, like how do we encourage and inspire our children to come up with ideas or to explore and create in their own ways. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great suggestion and a great topic to talk about, because even though we talk about like inspiration and the things that like, oh yeah, this is cool and I love watching this or reading this and this is where I'm getting some ideas, mm-hmm. like how do we take the spark and actually fan it into a flame to make something,
you know? Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's a great question that we, you know, you mentioned that we do talk about from time to time, but when I think about that kind of thing, I think about like questions that I have to ask myself or questions that I'll ask other people. You know, a lot of times we get stuck kind of thinking of everything in the same way. And it's not until we change our approach to it that sometimes we find a more creative solution or just an idea hits to like produce something creative.
Yeah, it's great and funny in a way that you mentioned like questions, because I think questions really are the starting point for a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I many years ago read something by someone, you know, about like how great leaders ask great questions and, you know, and I think the same is true of creative people, of designers, of architects, of builders, of, artists, of writers, of, you know, researchers, students, et cetera. Like when you're in that position to have to solve a problem, that means there's a question that needs to be answered. But sometimes the question that's in front of you needs to be rethought, and you have to, like you said, Joy, like develop a different way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that involves coming up with a new question to approach the question you have to answer.
Yeah.
And to then find what you're looking for from it. And I think that for most of my creative journey, it really comes down to like a question.
Mm-hmm.
And to start, like, and that question may change, but to start, I think that question for me is typically, you know, what, like, and this may sound simple, but what do I want to see? Like, as an artist, like, what do I want to see?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, when I guess when I was very early on starting as like learning to paint and to kind of reapproach drawing, having not drawn since I was a kid, and then like reintroducing that into my life, like in, you know, now like 7-8 years ago, it was, what do people like? You know, and the question was, what will people like? Because I was interested in trying to like build a brand or build like, you know, following, and like, will people like this? Maybe I can sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I kind of answered that question to a point and, you know, was trying to make things that I thought people would like. And that shifted, even though it was semi-working, that shifted eventually because I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Right? I wasn't happy just making things that I thought people would like, but I wanted to start making things that I liked. And so the question became like, what do I want to see?
Yeah.
Because if I have passion about it, if I'm excited about it, it's going to be easier to put more of me into it and hopefully make it a better piece than something else that I don't care about.
Right, right.
And then people will like that too, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they don't, you still created something that you liked. And I think that that's the most important thing. It's interesting that you start the process with that question. I also start my process with a question, but it's a different question, which I think is funny because I think, I don't know, I've never really asked anyone like, hey, what is the start of, you know, what's the question you ask yourself at the start of your creative process? And for me, you looked like you were going to say something. Go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I'm thinking about this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I don't know if, like, that question
changes or something.
I don't know if that question, actually manifested itself, like, in front of me. Like, oh, I have a question I have to ask myself. Like, you know, I just think it, like, in hindsight, looking back, I think that was like the shift in my mindset.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like the unspoken question that probably I thought of. Mm-hmm. Is what I guess what I'm trying to say. Like,
yeah, that like morning, that was the mindset that you.
Yeah, like yeah. there something had to change, right? Something mm-hmm. had to shift to kind of refocus my energy so that way it was something I wanted and I enjoyed mm-hmm. about what I was making and not just what I thought people would like.
Yeah. I think that that's really interesting too, though, is that even that, like, oh, well, I'm not sure I consciously thought of that question. I'm not sure I consciously asked myself that question. Is interesting because, yeah, I know a lot of people who would say that, like, well, I'm not sure I consciously asked myself that question or whatever. But for me, it is very conscious. Of course, I ask myself a question consciously because that's who I am. that's just what I do.
Yeah.
but it's interesting because the question for my creative process that I ask myself is the same as the question I ask myself for, you know, academic or research purposes. And it's always the same question. And even when I was working, I used to ask this question. Well, I'm still working, but when I was working in social services, I used to ask this question of my clients a lot too. Because I find that it sparks the most thoughtful and creative response in people and in ourselves. And I use it with my classmates if we're working on a project together and they're, you know, feeling stuck on something. I use it with my now students in music who I've been teaching for all of a week. But I keep finding myself asking this same question. And it's always, what would happen if? What would happen if you tried it this way? Or what would happen, not even if you tried it this way, what would happen if you tried it a different way?
Yeah. Yeah. Does that question change based on the circumstances?
Yeah,
like, so
absolutely.
What would happen if, yeah. and then, like, fill in the blank, right?
Yes, absolutely. So, like, the stuff that I am very excited about right now for school, that wasn't stuff that just presented itself to me. I had to apply to be in the honors program. I think that some people, maybe like, because a lot of the other people who were in the orientation last night were from high schools. So I think if they, yeah, I know I'm old. I think maybe if they were in an honors program in their high school, then it's like, oh, you're going to this college. We see that you were in honors. Do you want to be in our honors program? However, I'm an old fogey who came from Nowheresville, and I already have my bachelor's, and I'm going back to school. And so I had to apply to be in the honors program.
I'll trade these old bones for a chance at honors classes.
But the question, like, that did start with that question. What would happen if I emailed the honors department and said, hey, I'm a good student. You want to honor me for it?
Pay attention to me.
Kind of.
I'm awesome.
Kind of, but maybe not in that aggressive way. Like,
yeah, it was probably slightly aggressive.
I just said, like, hey, I'm interested in the honors program. And I noticed that.
Tell me more about it.
No one has reached out to me about it. So, no, I didn't say that.
I noticed how you all failed to notice me. So let me notice that you are not noticing me, so you notice me and we notice each other.
Yeah. No, I basically said, like, hey, I was in Phi Theta Kappa when I was in college the first time. But it's been so long that I don't really remember how that went. And so I'm interested in your honors program and or Phi Theta Kappa. Can you tell me about those and how I get to be a part of those? So I think that, you know, for that, it was like, well, what would happen if I just asked them instead of waiting for them to be like, oh, Joy's a good student. Let's award them with honors. Mm-hmm. Me being like, hey, so I'm working really hard to try to just do my best like really understanding the material and really, you know, internalizing and processing it and integrating that information. What do you have for me? And then following the invitation to the honors program and the orientation last night, I thought, what would happen if I emailed my microbiology professor, who also sometimes does a summer microbiology research project? What would happen? And so I did. And she was like, yeah, for sure.
I'll add your name to the list.
Yeah. And that was it.
Which is really cool.
It is really cool because I think it's typically more of a process than that. I could be wrong, but I think it's more of a process typically. But yeah, that's how it always is for me. Creative stuff or, you know, a different way to look at a problem. What would happen if? What would happen if I, you know, rearranged these... You know, what would happen if I rearranged these splits in the sentence structure that I think I've found in this language that I'm studying? You know, what would happen if I, you know, understood this sound in this language not to be a phoneme but an allophone, which isn't going to make sense to really anyone unless you're a linguist. But what if I changed up my understanding? What if I changed my perspective? Basically, is what I'm saying. And for art, it's what if I do this with sort of non-orthodox materials? What if I tried this thing differently? What if I made the weirdest thing? And that's kind of how it starts.
Yeah.
What if I followed no rules?
Yeah.
Will anything good come out of it?
Yeah. No, I think that's right on track. Right. The asking the question of what would happen if really leads you in this case, and I think in many ways, I think it can lead us. You know, as listeners, as artists, as creative people, you know, in whatever field you're in, to say, you know, what would happen if I tried this differently or if I looked at this differently? Mm-hmm. I think it adjusts the status quo even of, like, what our expectations are then
mm-hmm.
for an outcome,
mm-hmm.
Especially if it feels like what we've been doing has been getting stale or has been, like, feeling kind of rhythmic, but not in a good way, like rhythmic, like, oh, I just am going through the motions and this isn't bringing me joy or happiness anymore. Like, what's up with this? And
yeah,
it becomes kind of like this trudging through, you know, and we don't want to do that as creatives. We want to have that excitement. And it might just be a matter of saying, okay, what would happen if I change this up?
Yeah.
What would happen if I, you know, instead of... you know, painting this type of thing the same way, you know, for the millionth time, I tried this instead.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that's it. One of the reasons why, like, I haven't been posting a ton of art, like, in, for the last little while. Some of that's been because I've been so busy with my school stuff and working on writing projects instead of art projects. But I still draw, like, when I can in my free time. But I don't post everything because... I've been drawing things that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to post this and I'll like either lose followers because they'll be like, that's super weird, or I can't believe this person drew this, like, or whatever, because I'm just like, I just want to be like, I just want to draw what I want to draw. Or it'll be like, what's wrong with you? Are you tripping out on LSD or something? Like, no, I just think this is weird and funny and I want to draw it. And like that. It honestly can also keep, like, it can make us fearful, and it can, you know, it can it can keep us from doing what we want to do, because once we find the thing or find the question or readjust what we need to readjust, sometimes we can go, oh no, like I've been doing it this way this whole time, mm-hmm. and it's killing me in some ways, mm-hmm. but like it's successful or whatever.
Sure.
And if we change it, now what will happen? Will that success like deteriorate? Mm-hmm. You know, and it's hard to answer that question.
Of course, yeah.
Because maybe it will for a little while, but then you'll see like almost like cutting off the dead ends on hair, but then like the growth will continue. Like yes. It'll get shorter for a little bit, but then it'll grow.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just, it's hard. It's hard to like figure out that the reasonableness of like what will happen, what won't happen when shifting the question for what we create and what we make, you know. I think of like, you know, people who, like make tactile objects, right? You know,
and oh yeah,
like oh, I'm making. Let's say, like there's this artist I follow on social media who makes like wooden wands that are just really intricate and cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like that is really cool for people who like, you know, are Harry Potter fans or, you know, cosplay or, you know, do Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. Like maybe they're buying these things for that reason or whatever, or other reasons, who knows. And, you know, they're really cool and intricate. Then I'm like, well, what if like this is all they do and it seems like this is all they've done, you know, and that's really mm-hmm. cool. So like what else can they make? Mm-hmm. Or what if they made something else? Like what would happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would they be like, oh, sorry, I didn't make a wand today. I made a bowl. Would people be like, huh? Isn't that what I looked for or whatever? Or would it, you know, or what if like all of a sudden, you know, because she who will not be named is a TERF, like what if like people were like, nope, I'm done with wands. And then, you know, then like, then what?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, It's just fascinating to me, right? Like mm-hmm. sometimes like the inability to change, the inability to approach our creative space with new questions can lead to a principle of fear that sometimes takes us over and mm-hmm. it forces us then to kind of wrestle with like, do I have to be right about this? Is it okay to be wrong?
Mm.
And I think it is okay to be wrong. I think it's okay. Like, if we're creative people, we should also be like lifelong learners in that sense. And we're trying to like adapt and relearn things or learn new things. Mm-hmm. And to admit that you're wrong or that you made a mistake or that this didn't turn out the way I thought it would, or I'm going to change this and I don't know what's going to happen, I think is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we learn what to do the next time after that.
Yeah.
And like it helps us to get more creative in the future and to find new ways to solve that new problem.
Mm-hmm.
And when we hit that status quo or we hit that, like, this is just the same thing I'm turning out over and over again, sometimes it can feel like, I don't know, like, even if it's good,
yeah,
like that we haven't challenged ourselves to do something more creative than that. And mm-hmm. that kind of staleness, I think, can deteriorate or hinder the artist from continuing to, like, maximize their potential.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, and that's just my opinion, you know, smarter people and more creative people than me who may disagree, but that's just my opinion, at least for how I see things and how it works for me.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that makes sense. And I think that it's a good point, is that a lot of times the fear of the answer to that question is what stops us from, you know, moving forward. The fear of, oh no, what if I'm wrong? Oh no. But like you said, it's so important to be okay with admitting that we're wrong. You know, it's not like we're all out here going like, oh, I hope I'm wrong. But at the same time,
no, nor are we saying like this is the only way to do things. Like,
no.
When we make something. But right. It's that maybe wrong is the wrong word. But like it's the ability to say, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's okay to be just Yeah, it's okay to be unsure of the outcome, and it's okay to be nervous or insecure about the outcome, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think that sometimes as creators, we think, like, oh, it's inspiring, and I have to be, like, have a vision the whole time, and it's going to be amazing. And it's like, well, not really. A lot of times the reasons that things stick in our brain is because they're bugging us.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not always that we had this great vision and now we know exactly what this thing is going to be like and look like and we know what the process is going to be. It's more like, I'm stuck with this question, with this problem. How can I answer it? How can I create something? And what's going to happen along the way? And I'm nervous about, you know, potential setbacks. And I'm nervous about, you know, X, Y, and Z and whatever the heck it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just recognizing that insecurity in that process is completely normal and even healthy, because it causes us to value all approaches equally. We don't get stuck in, this is the way I do things.
Yeah.
We're willing to try out other approaches and other methodologies. And that, I think, is the hallmark of a really great artist. Someone who's willing to try things a different way. I've talked before on here about, like, how I really love using pastels. They're kind of my favorite, I guess, art medium. They're very tactile. They're very malleable. And I just love using them. I don't use them as much anymore. 'Cause I study all the time. But, you know, the only reason I started pastels, the only reason I even started using oil pastels is because I was walking through, it wasn't a Blick art studio or art shop. It was, what was that other place that we used to go to in Chicago?
They closed down, like, while we were still students.
Yeah, and it made me so sad. Pearl Art. Pearl Art Supplies or Craft Supplies or whatever. So I used to, like, walk through there because they had, like, cheap enough stuff for college students to buy. And I loved it because it was just art supplies everywhere, right?
Yeah. They also didn't have they probably should have had some of their some of their art supplies behind, like,
glass
or plastic, like, containers, because you could pretty much take anything you wanted, and they had like test paper out and you could, like, test it, and I'm just like, people, this is just,
yeah, it was a little bit crazy. But that was also why I loved it. That it was because I was like, oh my gosh, I can touch this, I can feel this, I can see what, you know what I mean,
yeah,
what it would be like. And that's what got me started on oil pastels. I remember walking through a Pearl and thinking, these look like crayons. What would happen if I got these and I started making things with them? And I really enjoyed it. And then I remember one time, Nick, you surprised me with a few of the really, really nice oil pastels that I never would buy for myself because I was like, I can't, they were too expensive. And you surprised me with a few of those. And I remember, like, the first time I used those being like, oh, wow, this is a whole new experience, because they're so much smoother, they're so much softer, and so much just, like, so much better. The color is so much more vibrant and just awesome. But that's what got me started on using oil pastels, was the question of what would happen if I randomly bought a couple of these things that I have no idea how to use properly. And I just tried them out. And I just decided to do it. What would happen then?
Yeah.
And then it turned out I loved it, you know? And there are a lot of things like that. Like, even with carving in general, I remember thinking, you know, when we learned to carve and Krista's sister was teaching us all of those things, I remember It was like you could learn how to make a spoon, or you could, or like other people will teach, were teaching different people how to do things because that was kind of what they did. At this particular gathering was like, oh, everybody bring something interesting and like teach people how to do blah, blah, blah. And I remember thinking, what would happen if I signed up to learn how to carve a spoon? And it turns out I loved it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It starts with this sort of like brain worm of like, I have this question.
A brain worm? A brain worm. Doesn't eat dirt, it eats brains.
It's brains. Brain worm zombie.
Worm zombie.
But yeah, like those nagging questions that won't let us get away from them.
Yeah. Well, so I think this is a good point, like, or a good spot to then talk about, like, you know, if you are a person with children in your care, whether you're a parent or a guardian, like, children don't stop asking questions.
Ever.
And ever. Why? What can I please have food? Like, you
it's
know.
It's always food.
Whatever the question is that they have for
food.
You. Right. The thing about kids is that curiosity and like it's that curiosity that helps make something out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And like with our kids, I think more than even, you know, I had growing up, I'm sure probably you too, Joy, like for us, it's like, oh, you want to try this thing? Like maybe we can't always do it right this second, but like, mm-hmm. hey, we could try that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's figure that out. I don't know how to do that. Let's look it up. You know, like that sounds really cool. You know, let's try and figure that out. Or,
yeah.
I remember like when the kids were much smaller and I was drawing and mm-hmm. like painting and stuff, you know, painting and drawing in front of them at the table, whatever. And like how that just got them to go, oh, like dad's doing that. Like maybe I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Could I try that? Yeah. Like here's some pencils. Here's some paper. Here's, you know, a cheaper set of paints. Here's a cheaper set of like markers, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is. Here's some pastels, like when Zoe was trying that and stuff. And so like it's just providing that space for, again, the unknown to take place.
Yes.
Yeah. And letting them kind of figure that out and, like, cultivating that within them and encouraging them and, be, you know, sometimes you're like, I don't know what that is, but, hey, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And can you explain it? This looks like that. Oh, no, that's not what that is. Okay, what is it then? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and just being excited because they're excited.
Yeah.
And, again, like, sometimes, you know, it's like you're in the middle of cooking dinner. Hey, Dad, can we, like, get this out and do this thing? Like, buddy, you can literally see I'm in the middle of something. I can't do that right now.
Right,
but,
right.
like, maybe later we can figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, that's part of the whole, like, having ideas come to life. It happens because of curiosity. It happens because of asking questions.
Yeah.
And I think, for me, our kids are a great example of that. Like, they, like, inspire me to ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that question is, what is happening in this house? but, you know, what did I do in life to deserve this? No. Yeah. But it, like, gets that curiosity, like, itch going. And then, like, you have to scratch it by figuring something out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with one of our kids, like, the way that he imagines and builds and creates, like, Legos,
mm-hmm.
Without instructions, without, like, anything else, just like, I'm going to make this thing. Like, he was looking at the bass guitar that is here at our house, and he built one out of Legos, like a small version out of Legos. Just looking at the bass, he built a bass out of Legos,
mm-hmm.
you know, or thinking about a one wheel. I posted about this on Instagram a while back. He was thinking about the one wheel that he's gotten to ride because one of his teachers has a one wheel and has let him ride it, like, mm-hmm. after school while we're hanging out. And he just, like, built one out of Legos, like a little one that you can use with your hands out of Legos. And just, like, by thinking about it, like, figuring out how could I put this together,
mm-hmm.
asking those questions, he uncovers those build plans that are nowhere written down. Yeah. You know, he just he's a master builder, just like in, you know, the Lego movie.
He is though.
Or like, you know, one of our other kids who's like, oh, I want to draw a comic, and how do I do that? And my thing was, well, you could look at some of the comics you have and then like try and like replicate that. And then he started doing it, and then like now doesn't need to look at anything. He just makes his own stories with his drawings and his words and like puts them together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just helping them find ways to ask those questions and think about those questions.
Yeah.
In unique ways.
Yeah. And to support the things where we're like, really? You want to do that? Because maybe it's not our thing.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Sure.
Supporting them in that. Like, one of our kids really wants a Kermit puppet for his birthday. And and he's been talking about it for months.
Yeah.
And the first time he mentioned it, I remember thinking to myself, really? You want that? Okay. And I thought that he would just like, you know how, because sometimes kids see something and they're like, oh, I really want that. And then like a month goes by and they're like, nah, whatever. No, he really wants that Kermit puppet.
Yeah, he does.
And he's not letting go of it. And so I think it's funny, like, you know, and supporting him in that, like, why does he want a Kermit puppet? I don't know. I asked him. He said, because it's cute. That's what I got the answer. But he really wants it. And so saying, like, okay, you could have a Kermit. Like, sure, you can do that. And letting him be interested in the things that he's interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And saying, like, I can't say yes to everything they want me to buy, but I can say yes to their interests, and I can say yes to supporting them in, you know, whatever random oddball thing they're into.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not weird or an oddball thing. Maybe it just seems like that to me because that's not, you know, something that I would have ever thought of.
Right, right. So, yeah, I think, you know, at least from our perspective, to kind of answer the topic idea or to propose, you know, a solution to the topic idea of, like, how do ideas come to fruition? How do you get them to the page? It's asking questions and, you know, what would happen if, and when others have questions and they're trying to be creative, supporting that and, like, encouraging that and helping them ask different. Maybe they're asking the wrong question and you might have a better question because you've experienced that before. And so you can like lead them to the right question to help them solve what they're looking for. And yeah, for us, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, for sure.
So with that, I think it's time to ask another question. And that is, what are we going to do today?
Hey, hey, what are we going to do today? Hey, hey, what are we going to do today? I can't wait. Tell me what we're doing today.
That's right. What are we going to do today? The segment of the show where we talk about all the different things we're going to be working on or doing in the present moment. So, Joy, what are you doing today?
Oh, my goodness. What am I doing today? I have a lot of work today. I'll be working many, many hours today. I mentioned earlier that I have started teaching piano at a local music studio, which I'm really enjoying. I just had my first week there, and it's really, really great. They're so supportive and just a great place to work. Like, they set you up for success, which is really, really cool. I love my students. They're so adorable. Just so cute. And for my, you know, students who are not tiny people and they're a little bit older, you guys are awesome too. Don't worry. I think you're great. But I have really been enjoying teaching music. I think that it's one of those things that, like, you get to collaborate with people. You know, like, when I'm teaching my students, it's not like, do it this way. It's like, hey, have you tried doing it this way? And then they try it. And it's, how does that feel for you? Do you like it? Do you want to try a different way? And giving them freedom, you know, musically and creatively. To, you know, like make it their own thing.
Yeah.
And for the younger kids especially, letting them play a song in a silly way. Like, oh, play it super loud now. Okay, now play it super quiet. Okay, now play the first half super quiet and the second half super loud. And, you know, just different things like that. And providing an opportunity for them to really enjoy and own that creative process is so fun, and it's a delight, and I love it. I am realizing how old I am sometimes while I'm teaching music. No, part of that, honestly, is because, like, we use a particular app to keep track of, like, inventory and attendance and, you know, class rosters and things like that. And it's just, it's taking me so much longer than I thought it would to remember where things are and to figure out how to use this app properly. Like, I will think that I've done something right, and then I'll be like, hey, I did that thing. And then, you know, one of the administrative people will be like, ah, you almost did. And then I'm like, oh, let me try it again.
I know that day is coming, like, where technology surpasses
it
my
will,
knowledge.
Yeah.
And I, like, that scares me to a point, because I'm like, I've always been so good at it because I kind of grew up with technology moving with me.
Yes.
And now it's like the
it's
kids
faster
are
than
about,
me now.
Yeah, the kids are about to take me over. And
yeah.
They're like, no, no.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny. But yeah, like, I mean, I'm really enjoying that. So today specifically, I do have music lessons. I have a lot of piano lessons I'll be teaching. I think I'm teaching for 5-ish hours today, I want to say. Straight through. And then earlier in the day, I'm at my other job. And then I'm also trying to jam in homework wherever I can fit it in. I'm almost at the end of the spring semester, baby.
That's right.
So I just got to finish strong. Just got to pull through. Sometimes I cry. It's going to be fine.
It will be. It will be. You're so close to being done.
I'm so close. Yeah. I have really enjoyed my classes. I have had frustrating moments, but I have also really enjoyed my classes. I've enjoyed learning new things.
Good.
So that's kind of, that's what I got going on today. Just got to finish out that semester and then start the next one.
Yeah.
I have a 4-day break.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're doing some summer classes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be an adventure. So yeah, I'm excited. But, and then also, I'm just going to be kind of researching and work, maybe starting on a writing sample, hopefully sometime in the next week or two, as I apply for different schools and do different things there. So
right on.
A little bit nervous about that.
But would happen if you got in?
What would happen if I got in? Oh my gosh.
Right. So you gotta do it. You gotta do it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. Nick, what are you doing today?
Well, I am today actually. So speaking of school, so I finished my school stuff last week.
Huzzah, Nick has graduated.
Huzzah. Woo-hoo! I've graduated the first section of my program studies because
you make it sound so much less exciting than it is though.
So I was in this program at the school I was at. I was in this program and just graduated on Saturday, and which is really exciting. But I'm not done. I'm going to be continuing on with my studies at a different school. And I'm in a PhD program.
Yes.
Which is awesome, terrifying, and really cool and scary all at the same time. And so the, you know, it's taken me a little longer than I thought to get here because I've been trying to do this for a while. But it's here, it's happening, and I'm excited. But I have summer before that begins. And so in the immediate, what am I doing? I'm trying to just give my brain just a short reprieve. You know, from all the studying and writing and projects I've been doing.
Sure.
And then, you know, getting ready for the fall and everything that comes with it. So along with the studies, I'll be working for the university. I'll be teaching classes and, you know, working on my classwork, working on prepping for field exams, and, of course, working on a dissertation. And so there's a lot to come in the next few years that are going to be pretty intense. So your prayers, thoughts, good vibes, candles, whatever, I don't know, whatever you do that, like, you know, I appreciate all that. Your Cash Apps, you know, all those things that help with school are great because, you know, I want to be able to do well in that. And I'm excited about it. But I'm looking forward to having just like a little break because it's kind of been nonstop for even last summer was kind of like nonstop with different things. And then right before that was, you know, the intense. I don't want to say COVID's not intense now, I guess, but
it
like
it is still
because it is, and there's waves of it happening. But now with so many people being vaccinated and boosted, it's I have trouble even saying it's managed, but it's
because it's not.
It's we're living with it, I guess, you know, and so because we all have to live with that as part of our everyday experience, whether we like it or not,
we don't like it.
You know, anyway, when I first started my other program that I just finished, the COVID was like it was on the first year, so everything was like locked down and classes were all online and all that stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so it was kind of like, didn't matter, like my house was not the, oh, I get to just go home. It was like everything, all work, all school, the kids doing school, Joy doing work from home, like all this stuff, like it was just, you know, trapped in the house kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so this last year, it's just been like moving. And now, like, I've got a couple weeks before my kids are out of school and Joy's working and doing school stuff. And so, like, I have some time at home just by myself, which is nice. And so, like, trying to enjoy that before the kids are home for the summer. And, you know, so then I can be with them and spend time with them and do a bunch of fun stuff. But it won't be the same, like, as, you know, it won't be the same type of relaxing. And if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about, like, where, like, you love your kids, but sometimes it's nice to be like, oh, it's quiet, or, oh, the house is clean. And, like, those moments, I'm just going to try and enjoy for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I've got things I want to do over the summer, like, creatively. You know, I think we talked on the last episode, like, shout out to Ross, who's let me use this lathe. Because it's been raining, I haven't had a chance to clean out and reorganize my garage. But now that it's sunny this week, I'm starting to move some stuff around. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping within the next week or two, I'll have that up and running so I can begin doing some woodworking stuff, which I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Along with, you know, some more carving stuff that Joy and I are planning to do. But yeah, you know, I have things that I'm trying to do this summer, but also trying to cultivate like some of that peace and rest before the next wave of intensity happens.
For the next thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
So, but I'm excited. I'm excited about everything that's happening. It's just it's just wild sometimes to think about.
It is.
So, what are you all doing today? What are you doing this week? What are some of the projects you got going on? If you'd like, you can let us know. Email us, stokethewild@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram or Twitter @stokethewild. And Let us know about the things you have going on as well. And as always, you know, you can support us. You can support the show and the work that we're doing. You know, we have our Venmos and our Cash Apps, like in our profiles, and you can definitely send us a little tip, you know, saying thanks, or you can support us monthly by going to patreon.com/stokethewild. And, you know, for the price of a cup of coffee, you know, at $5 a month, that's the lowest tier. You can join and get some behind-the-scenes stuff every now and then, the occasional extra episode as it pops up. We have a few on there already, some different video things, some writing stuff that I put on there. But you can also just, you know, help support us each month as we put together the show. Keep up with that. Mm-hmm. And you can follow us on our personal pages as well, like with art and other creative stuff. You can find Joy
at 99pod. You can find me on there on Instagram and Twitter.
Yep, spelled out.
Yeah, spelled out, not the just numbers.
Yeah, that's my fault. And you can you can find me on Instagram at Nick Dirtinger Art. Or you can find me on Twitter at Nick Dirtinger and follow along. I've been a little less active the last couple of weeks with finishing up the semester, but we've got some more things I'm hoping to do on there as well. And so, yeah, check it out. Yeah. Give us a follow. Give us a like. Leave us a review if you can on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you listen to your apps. Let us know how we're doing. We appreciate you. We thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.